Hello.
Hello, Demi. What's going on? Are you
My
into
thing
UC
just
Pod?
did a Mazza.
Okay. All right.
Don't worry, don't worry. I don't know why it did. I had to switch from Wi-Fi to 4G because I don't know. The Wi-Fi in this house is just a joke.
Everyone's
But
Wi-Fi
it's
is
really
so bad in London.
maybe that is what. Because when I'm at home and it's connected to the BT, no problems. That thing is fast.
Oh.
And then when I come here, it's fine. If you're in the living room, it's fine. No issues. Virgin's fine, but sometimes it's just not the one.
You
The
need to
worst one
get
is Sky.
a next a booster. That's what we got.
Yeah, you were
But
saying,
mine
how
is
much
really
are
bad
they?
as well.
Yeah, Virgin has like issues with its like range. You can't get it from one part of your house to another. You gotta get like a booster to boost the signal, basically.
Richard Branson, man, what are you doing?
What kind of
My
boost is
dad.
this? It's just a booster. It's just like an extra mini router. You just plug it in and it transfers a
Oh, right.
signal over. Okay.
All right, well, I have to invest in that. But anyway, Made in Chafford podcast episode 70. Yo, we made it. 70. Boys, you know what time it is? Introduce yourself.
Please go first.
Boys and ladies. In fact, I should
Oh.
say we've got a guest in the house. She goes by the name of Chanel. Chanel, introduce yourself. Tell the people about you. Give us a little breakdown.
Okay, so I'm Chanel, but I go as like Chanelly Girl on social media, and I'm a model and creative. Yes, and I live in London. And yeah, that's a bit about me, just a short intro.
Love it.
All right,
Word.
then. I'll go first. It's Eman G45. Eman. That's it. That's what I'm going to be known as today, Eman.
I respect it.
Cool, cool. Colson Nussi. Big 2L. Don Corleone. That's me for today. That's me for today.
You know what it is. Two Dems, the real is back, the real is back. Episode 70 of the Made in Chafford podcast. All right, so let's get into it. Eman, what was the first topic you wanted to get off your shoulders, off your chest?
Well, it's mainly just about your starting career. So, Chanel, of course, we have the guest Chanel, but how did you come into modeling? Where did it all start?
Think basically, I was studying fashion design at London College of Fashion. That's where I met Emmanuel's friend Tola. Yeah, so they obviously I started fashion design, and then when I was just studying, people would just ask me, like my classmates, like, oh, could you just wear some of their final pieces that they would make? And then from there, like people used to ask me in school. And then after that, like I think it was like my final year, there was this casting for Fashion Week, and then they messaged me on Instagram. They were just like, oh, like, would you want to be in the show? So I thought it was like a school project thing, but then it ended up being like the official Fashion Week show. And then that was like the first show I did. And then from
Mother,
there, it just kind of spiraled.
what brand was that you worked for at Fashion Week, or was it just?
It was this menswear brand called Nazir Mazar. So before
Oh, I
coronavirus, they used to
see.
be like Men's Fashion Week and then like Women's Fashion Week. So he's just like a menswear designer, and yeah, so it was like on the Fashion Week schedule, so there was like loads of celebs and stuff there. I was quite nervous, but that was kind of how it
Yeah,
started.
I'd imagine. So, yeah, I guess for you, I guess an interesting question is how has coronavirus impacted the fashion world? Because obviously they can't have shows. If they do shows, they're probably going to try and do something clever with the virtual shows. What's been the biggest thing you've noticed?
It's really weird because I know that currently it's supposed to be Fashion Week. So it's fashion they did the Fashion Week in Milan. So they still have the shows there because their numbers are low and stuff like that. But then in London, I don't know what they're gonna do, but I do know that they try to do like virtual, like creative VR kind of experiences. They're like trying to make it more different. But the last Fashion Week was in September, And I still did fashion week, but they got me to do like more creative stuff. Like it was like virtual fashion week. So they did like a presentation and they recorded it and then they uploaded it and like streamed it. So it was just kind of like that. But the fashion, I feel like it's, there's less hype about fashion now because I feel like the industry was upheld by like people going to shows and like photographers and all of that. Because that's not there, it's not really the same anymore. I don't think people are as interested. So I don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no more celebrities going out to show what everyone's wearing. There's no more trends, no more things to look forward to. I know, like, London, well, whatever fashion week it is, it's usually impacting on, like, sneaker culture as well. Because sometimes you see, like, the latest sneakers coming out.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Travis Scott, sometimes Skepta, like, they're always wearing something. So the fact that I don't see that now, it's a bit of a...
Not the same. Like, a lot of people didn't... I didn't even know it was, like, Milan Fashion Week. Like, because it's just not advertised because you can't even leave to go anyway, so...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So it's just changed a lot.
Well, so obviously you're into fashion and stuff. How did the transition from that to YouTube happen? Like, when did you decide to start YouTubing?
Oh, so YouTube, when, I don't even remember when I started YouTube, but I think this was during uni.
Okay.
So with YouTube, I kind of haven't been on it at all, I'm not gonna lie. But at the time when I was like really on YouTube, it was just literally like something to do with me and my siblings, like just like for bonding. It wasn't really like with intent to like make money, but then eventually, like the more we did it, brands started to like reach out to us and stuff like that, because like all my siblings are quite creative anyway, so we kind of just used to do stuff on YouTube. And then brands used to reach out to us as a group, so we've done some group stuff together and stuff like that. But everyone went off to uni, so it got really hard. But we definitely want to like make more content as well, because it's lockdown now, so everyone's back, and my siblings have kind of graduated now, like this year. So, but it's hard when they're in uni.
Okay, so I've always wanted to. So you do runways as well, isn't it? So I've just I'm about to get into my America's Next Top Model bag here. What's your secret? Like, what's the key to your walk? Like, you know how they always say you have to have a definitive walk? Yeah. When I think of people having a bad walk, I think of that video of Naomi Campbell crying at Kendall Jenner's walk. So what's the key to having a good walk?
Do you know what? Yeah, no one actually trained me. Like, I didn't get, like, training to do, like, fashion week. Like, it was always last minute. Like, people were like, oh, do you want to do a show? And I'll just blag it kind of thing. But I would say, honestly, I think if you know how to, like, if you have rhythm, it's easy to walk. Literally, that's it. But I do feel like black models are good at walking, like, no one really teaches them. But I feel like if you don't have much rhythm, then it's kind of difficult to get it. Because you don't just walk, you have to walk and beat with the music that they play, depending on what music they play.
What music do they normally play? Or is it just like background
music, you know, like it varies really widely. Like it can be like trap music to even classical, like it depends, but you have to walk in like rhythm to the music. You can't just like walk and then the music's playing.
What's the craziest song they played at a fashion show?
I forgot. There was one time they started playing some 90s Lil Kim.
Oh, wow.
Good choice. I'm not gonna.
But they always like remix it and like cut it up into other songs in it.
Got right. Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense.
But it's interesting. Right. It's interesting to find out the fact that people would be, they don't walk with rhythm. Like As mad as that seems, I understand it, because whenever you're listening to music, you would walk in the pace on how it's presented.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel so, like for example, walk with rhythm naturally.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a little bounce in our step.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, Debbie knows.
But nah, it's mad. Sometimes I've been seeing it. Like, growing up, I used to watch America's Next Top Model. Don't ask why. But these girls, some of them, when I'm talking about their walk, it's not pretty.
Why did you watch it, Demi? Fill us in.
Why? Yeah, like you have to I tell don't know, us. You mentioned.
No, I just always enjoyed it. Like it's so intense.
I used to watch it as well.
Yeah, it's I'm not recommending it because I ain't watched it in years. But yeah, I used to be. I was into that shit. And my favorite one. Yeah. My favorite task was they had to do this task where they had to go on. They'd go to Italy and they'd go on a Vespa and they had to go around and go to different agencies to try and get them to sign them. I don't know. Yeah. I was always intrigued by that. But you might know me. I've had some weird TV shows that I've enjoyed. But
I like the clip where that girl's crying and then all of a sudden she's like, okay again. That's some classic.
Yeah, no. Nah, America's Next Top Model's given some memories.
Is this the same one where they got invited to a party and 50 Cent was there? And then she got pushed in the pool.
American Top Model was really wild. I'm not gonna lie. So I'm it not was surprised. Wild.
I mean, you got Tyra pretending to faint on there just so that she can prove she can act. And there's the infamous line, "Oh, I've never yelled at a girl like this before."
Yeah.
Never.
Oh my god, that was crazy.
So yeah, now there's some infamous moments from that show. Okay, so Chanel, who are some of the models that you look up to, or do you look up to any models?
To be honest, I feel like the era of like the supermodel is not really now. Like the 90s, like you had Tyra Banks, Naomi Campbell, all of those like supermodels and all of that. But now there's more like Instagram models that are like popular. But if I was to say in terms of models, I do like there's a model called Adzoa Abewa. She's mixed race. She's half Ghanaian and half British, I think. And she's really good. Like, I like her platform because she models and she does a lot of high fashion stuff, but she also uses her platform to like talk about mental health issues. Yeah. And her story is just really amazing. Like, because she had like a breakdown and she was like, she tried to commit suicide and stuff. And then from there, she kind of went to rehab for drugs, and then she kind of like within the next 6 months, she was like the face of Chanel or whatever. Jeez. Or like, yeah. So she just had like, she just has a mad story compared to most models. And I've met her twice because I did a show and she was in the same show as me. And then I met her another time at a Google event, and she's just a really nice person. And like, she uses her platform really well. Like, to help young black girls with mental health issues, all of that kind of stuff. And she's just really real when it comes to the reality. Like, you can still model and not be fake and not, like, encourage, like, toxic ideals and stuff like that. So I think her platform is really good.
Okay, so I've actually been wondering this because you touched on it just briefly. How do you view Instagram models? Because obviously you're a model, you have an Instagram, but you're not an Instagram model akin to what like Kylie Jenner does. You know, she's probably the Instagram model. What's the difference between, say, what you do and, I don't know, for example, Molly Mae?
Molly Mae's like more, she wouldn't work with high-end brands. She would work with more commercial brands. That's kind of the difference, I would say. Because, runway models are normally like you have to be like a certain height and you have to be like really slim. Now they're trying to include plus size girls, but that was like the standard before. And your models are not really like a brand, it's more like you're like a canvas. So whatever they want to do with you, that's what they're going to do, like in terms of makeup and look and all of that. But with Instagram girls, it's kind of up to you how you want to brand yourself. And you don't have to be slim. You can literally be anything you want in it. But obviously, there is a beauty standard in the Instagram world now. Like, obviously, I think if you have social media and you want to be an Instagram, popular on Instagram, Kylie Jenner is kind of seen as, like, the most popular. So I would say that people emulate her, how she runs her platform in it. And, like, even look-wise, people do say that she has copied black women, which I can understand. But I do think a lot of people she made it more popular, like that look.
Got you.
Yeah, so I do think if like most girls that want to be popular on Instagram kind of like try to get the Kylie Jenner.
Once she got them lip fillers, it was over. That was the whole look. From I can't remember what year it was. I want to say it was like maybe 2015 or something, Kylie Jenner got lip fillers. It was over. That was just the whole look after that period.
Yeah, after that, she just went, like, she just got...
She just went clear, to be honest.
Gone, because she went clear for sure. Okay, Chanel, I've been itching to ask this question since we had you on. So, talk us through the experience of working on... It was the Brown Skin Girl video, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Talk us through that, because that is insane. Okay. So I'm not gonna be silly, but I have to ask. So did you meet Beyonce or no, or what? How did that all come about?
Okay, so basically, this is like a stretch of 2 years, basically. So, the director, she's from South London, and I went to a shoot for Wonderland magazine because like they asked me, they basically gave me opportunity. They were like, oh, like, you've been doing really well. We'd like to put you on a list of like top black creators, not black creators, young people that are like creative in London that are doing well. So when I went to the shoot, she was also going to be featured. So she was shooting after me, the director. So then I just saw her and I had seen her work because she also directed Ape Shit with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then I was like, oh my gosh, like that's the director. Like, I loved her work already. So I came up to her and I was like, oh, excuse me, I really love your work. Like, I just had a little conversation, nothing special. And she was like, oh my gosh, like, take my Instagram and like, let's keep in contact. And I was like, okay. Like, I didn't really think anything of it. And then my cousin, like, I didn't know my cousin knew her because they went to school together. So then later on, one day, I just got a message from her. And she was like, hi, Chanel, like, are you free next week? And I was just like, yeah, I'm free. And she was like, oh, like, I want you to work on this project. And I'll send you all the details and stuff like that. So she sent me the details and all of that. And I was like, okay, cool. Then when they didn't tell me. So when I got on set, everybody was like whispering. I was like, what is this about? Like, I don't know what this project is for. Then I had to sign an NDA and all of that kind of stuff. So obviously, people were saying that Beyonce was there, but I didn't see her in it because there was like trailers that had like Ivy Park on there. There was like loads of trailers that said Ivy Park. So I don't know what, but I knew that she filmed it. So I don't know how she filmed it. Maybe she was there. I don't know. But
when did you put two and two together? Because you didn't know till you, I'm guessing you didn't know till you got to the set and you're like, holy shit, I'm about to be in a Beyonce video.
No one told me. Like, there was just whispering. Even the makeup artist didn't know.
Matt.
Like, no one
how did you work and you just took that? That's, see, that level of fame right there is crazy. Because how can you be invited to become like,
do you know what it's like? It's like, okay, do you guys know Steven Spielberg?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, imagine he's like, I want to do a project with you. Like, you just know something. It's going to be.
It's going to be a madness.
Yeah, so then obviously for me, even if it wasn't for Beyonce, I knew that it was
done.
Because she doesn't work with any... So I knew it was, even if it wasn't for anything, just a personal project, she's like, she's doing really well. Like, her projects always bang. Like, it's always like, what's it? She always gets awards and stuff. But she, yeah, so she's more popular in America, even though she's British. Because I feel like in America, they kind of respect black talent more. That's how I feel anyways. But she's more popular in America. Like, in America, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like that black director. But she's actually from South. Like, yeah. Great. So, no one knew, the makeup artist didn't know. Like, I don't know how Beyonce does it, but she has the best secrecy that I've ever seen.
That's a fact. Yeah.
Like, I've never seen anyone able to like keep something so silent. But anyways, like, it did get leaked. Like, I remember the day of the shoot, it was like on a Daily Mail. It was posted. And it was like, oh, is Beyonce filming a secret project in London? Like, that was what the post said. And then my friends were messaging me like, oh my gosh, Beyonce is filming in London. And I was just on set like, oh, is it?
The NDA.
Yeah, that NDA is, there's a few people on this planet that I'm not messing with their NDA. She's one of them. Because, not playing no games.
They take it seriously. Like, you can actually, you can
you're doing jail time.
Yeah.
You can lose your life. Forget, you can get jail time. You can lose your life, man.
Yeah.
I literally saw Kanye West Kanye is like suing one of his interns for like 500k for breaking the NDA. So I was just like, nope, I'm not breaking nothing.
It's not worth it.
What did his intern do?
She just posted on IG, like, like they were doing like a project, and then yeah, that was
my so hell. That intern then on 500k.
Let that's the thing, I don't know.
That's a yard, slide, man.
That's what I'm saying. Let it slide, man. Let it slide. But no, that is an insane experience. Would you say that's the height of everything you've done so far, or what for you has been your best experience?
I think for me, like when I was young, I feel like maybe the year before I graduated uni, I did my storyboard, and I've literally I wrote Disney on my storyboards, and I wrote like a couple other brands. But it was weird because when we did the project, it wasn't for Disney at the time. It was Beyonce project.
But we course, did. It
wasn't so obviously when it came time, I thought it wasn't coming out because it was like a year before. I did it a year before. When they told me, they were like, oh, we've just sold the movie or whatever to Disney and it's going to be a movie, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I literally put that on my storyboard. So I was quite gassed because I was like, wanted to do a project with Disney. So after that, I would say that's the biggest project that I've done. Apart from that, I think what other projects? I did a project for the Black Panther movie. That was quite good as well. Yeah. Those two.
Okay, talk us through that a bit.
This was never mentioned to me. What project did you do with Black Panther?
Wakanda Forever.
Like, when the first movie came out, I did a project with them. Like they did a magazine for the movie. And then so I was in the magazine for that movie, and then there was like a little short creative video and stuff, and then we went to like the premiere, and like we met some of the actors and stuff, so it was like quite fun. But I would say that was another quite fun project that I did. But I would say the Disney one, I think it was quite overwhelming because everything happened in a weird way, so even when it came out, I wasn't really ready. But I'm not gonna lie, most of the times when I do stuff, it's always like last minute and like rushed and like, can you be here? Like, so it's kind of like I try not to say no to a lot of things because you never know.
I get that, because you just don't know what would be the one. Imagine if you'd been like, yo, I don't know if I can do that one, when that person asked you.
I know,
gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even know. You'd kick yourself forever. So I respect that.
Yeah, but so I would say the Beyonce one was the one that got me the most. I like that one.
I guess what's the, not necessarily the fallout, but what's like, I guess you got some cachet with that as well, because you can go to brands now and be like, well, I did this, this.
100%. I think before I did the Beyonce project, like things were going good in it, but as soon as I did that one, like everything changed, like in terms of like opportunities.
Yeah, like, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, in terms of opportunities and like even like my rates for modeling, like everything went up. Like it was just
different. Are you
the price went up.
I respect that. No, I love that. I love that.
I was both confused. I was like, okay. I didn't know.
It's a really nice journey. And I think one thing I was really pleased with, because obviously we do our research before our guest comes on, was the fact that you was able to make your family proud. And I think, I'm sure that Beyonce moment was the moment where I was like, okay, this fashion thing is serious, you know? Yeah. I mean, they probably would have already taught that before, but now you get evidence that, yo, Chanel's actually with someone like Beyonce. You can't stop her.
You know what? How did your family feel when you told them that you were going to go into modeling? Like at first, what was their first reaction?
Do you know what's so weird? So I went into modeling at like, I don't know, but basically my final year in uni. I never really wanted to be a model at all. I used to stop modeling. I think it gave me PTSD. I was like, nah, this industry, I'm not trying to get into modeling at all. Like, it's too intense and stuff like that. And obviously, I'm not that tall. I'm only 5'6", like nearly 5'7". So I'm not the standard height of like a model. So it's not something that was on my mind. It's not something that it was on my parents' mind either, because obviously models are tall. So I never spoke about it. I do feel like it was always like a secret dream, but I feel like everyone has a secret dream to be a singer, innit? Like, that's just like, be a model, like, that's the standard. But yeah, so when I started doing it, it was a hobby. So with me, my parents never mind me doing anything that's a hobby, just as long as education is like, I've done my education and like that side of things is cool. But if it started to interfere with my education, they wouldn't have been happy, no.
That is, yeah, your journey is very inspiring. And obviously, now that you've got that real icing on the cake with the Beyonce moment, I guess it's like, I guess my next question is, where do you see yourself going from here? What's the next? Just keep smashing it?
Well, yeah, I guess, like, hopefully. There's a lot of different stuff that I want to do, but I feel like sometimes, because I do come from a creative background, it's like a different feeling when I do modeling, or I feel like it's an opportunity for me to like talk and learn. Like sometimes when I'm on set and I see the photographers, I'm like learning.
Right. Got you. So you want to be able to do it all.
So like I'll literally be asking questions like, oh, how did you do this? How did you do that? Like seeing everybody that's on set, like seeing what it entails to like create certain projects. Like with the Beyonce project, I was like very aware of like how it works kind of thing. So I think because I did come from a creative background, it's kind of like I've learned a lot about how the creative industry runs. So even though I didn't like intern, I kind of felt like I did intern in that way. But next, I do feel like just doing more creative projects, because that's kind of what I studied. And yeah, there's a lot more stuff that I want to do. Like the last time I spoke to anyone about like what I wanted to do was kind of like just starting a platform for Black creatives. Like people that don't have any experience, like starting platforms and like communities for Black creatives, so that they can collaborate with each other and understand that you don't have to like wait for someone that has like money or stuff like that to do stuff. Like you can literally do stuff and pitch it to brands and make money that way, like if you collaborate with friends. So doing just more stuff like that, like teaching other creators how to kind of like build your own brands, and not brands, but like kind of build your own professionalism. Without actually having to like wait to get a certain internship. Like you can do these things before, you know?
That's good. You
want
to go say something?
I know Demi said, of course, the icing on the cake was the Beyonce video. But what about the experience with you and Burna Boy on his music video? How did that come about?
Oh, that was so fun. Oh my gosh. That was a fun day. How did it come about?
Yeah.
Oh, so basically my friend, I forgot where I know her from, but we're like friends on Instagram, but and friends in real life and stuff. And then she just messaged me one day. She was like, oh, Chanel, like, are you free on a certain day? And I was like, yeah, because she was like, oh, this director that I'm working with, he's looking for other models for a music video. And he saw your work and he was like, he wanted to work with you. So obviously he messaged me and he was like, oh yeah, like I've seen your work around and I've always wanted to work with you. I'm like shooting this video. Would you want to do it? And then obviously he sent me all of the information and stuff like that. I'm not sure if they told me who it was for again. But obviously I saw you previously.
It seems to be a constant theme.
Yeah, literally, like, I feel like people don't get that every time something, a project happens, I'm not even in, I don't even know what's happening most times. So when it finally comes out, I'm just like, oh.
That's what it was for.
Which song was it for?
Pull Up.
Pull Up.
Okay, cool.
So that was it. Then I came on set. They asked me to get faux locks done. So they asked me to change my hair. And then, and then two other girls that was there. I knew the other girl, and there was another girl in the video. I didn't know her, but I knew most of the girls because I had worked with them previously. Then after that, we shot the video. Burna Boy came. It was a long day though.
What time did it start and then what time did it end?
It was like, I came at like 10 a.m. and finished at like 10 p.m.
That's just trying to get shots. You're on set all day.
You're
just there.
You know what? 12 hours is not even that deep. But the thing is, like, if you're doing 12 hours and you're not doing much physically,
most of it is doing nothing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of this is just sitting around waiting for your turn to go up and then. Oh gosh, yeah. It's a lot.
Celebrities, they like come late, like a lot of waiting. Mm. But he's like, Burna Boy is nice and stuff. His team is really nice. His mom is really inspiring as well because she's like proper pro black, like talking about Africa.
His mom worked with like, Fella,
huh?
I want to say his mom worked with Fella.
Yeah, that's what I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard.
So yeah, I'm not surprised about that.
Yes, but yeah, no,
so she was there on the day as well.
Yeah, because I think she's manager, so she's there.
That would make sense. Yeah,
that's big stuff. Yeah.
He's dope. I'm glad that it all worked out as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's super funny, man. Like we had to drive around, like I think it was North London. I don't remember. You had to drive him. Basically, one of the models drives, and then they had like a camera on top of the car, and then drove us around, like, and then people were just like, "Oh my gosh, Burna Boy!" Like, because it was like the car was like, it was like a convertible, so then people were just like, "So that's Burna Boy." When he was driving,
were they excited?
Could you imagine just like just coming from doing your shopping, and you see Burna Boy in the car?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Was it like the same thing of? Drake and Giggs, when like he was in London, some people just started running for Drake and Giggs. Were they running towards Burna Boy as well?
Because it was just like in the middle of the day to see Burna Boy in a car, like a convertible. So people were like,
that would be crazy.
Yeah, so it's like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. All right, Iman, did you have any other topics you wanted to get off?
I mean, we've kind of gone off of this topic, but it was really just what's better, modeling or influencing? Because right now we have like a wave. Of course, modeling is out there, but right now, especially in the time that we are, such as COVID, influencers are popping. Yeah. They're still making their peas. They're still doing their stuff. So, which one is better? Yeah.
Well, I would say for me, modeling is easier. Yeah, because with modeling, like, I just have to get up, they do my hair, my makeup, I'll take the pictures, you know. But obviously, there is another type of modeling because you have to do, like, up kept. So that's one aspect, you know. Like, you can't Photoshop your pictures, like, all of that kind of stuff.
I think
there is a pressure. Like, let's say if I was to do, when I do social media stuff, I could literally have a bad skin day and I could just literally edit my pictures. Like, it doesn't matter kind of thing. Or, do you know what I mean? But if you're feeling like bloated or whatever, you can just edit it. But then when you do modeling, you can't do that. Like, you don't know how most times they don't edit anymore because like they've changed like some things that they don't like to edit people's pictures anymore because it makes people feel like, you're given unrealistic beauty standards. Yeah, but with influencing, I find it hard because of the type of influencing I do a lot of like hair and makeup videos. So that takes time. Mm. Yeah, but that's what I would say.
I guess, yeah, it's crazy that it's just the new sort of world and it's like these people have such a huge say. And I think what makes it harder to be an influencer is you have to always be on it, if that makes sense. Like, you have to be online. You have to be on top of the game, basically.
Yeah.
No days off, that's a fact.
I don't think people realise how much, influencers from all walks of life, like girls, guys, YouTube, social media, Instagram, all of that. It's like a full-time job. Like, if you really want to do it, like, you have to be consistent. It's a lot of work. Like, even when I see YouTube, it will take me like a day to edit stuff. Like, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, yeah.
That influence definitely hard. is harder than modeling, because modeling you just go like take pictures and all of that, but influencing is like you have to come up with new ideas, and you have to kind of be like, if the idea you put out doesn't bang, you still need to keep going, because it's gonna bang, but it's the consistency that actually makes you blow. It's not actually just like some people
go for one
video, but it's hard. Like I would say.
Nah, it's tough. I mean, oh gosh, it's just crazy how much actually goes into it, and that you have to do in order to actually have the best content and the best, you know, outfits and et cetera, et cetera. It's just crazy to me the effort that you guys are able to put in on a consistent basis as well. That's what really impresses me.
Yeah, and obviously, like, if I was to recommend to anyone, I would say that, like, if you want to be an influencer, you do kind of have to, like, I would say you kind of have to, it's like you're selling your soul a little bit, kind of, though. Because it's like, you have to be current, you kind of have to do what people want to see. Like, that's the main thing of being an influencer, in order to be consistent. But, like, with me, as much as I'm an influencer, I would say I'm more like a content creator, because, like, I make sure that if I do videos, because I'm not very consistent, I make sure that it's, like, at a certain standard of, like, like creatively, or, like, in terms of, like, the filming quality I use. So if I work with a brand, they don't really care if I don't get loads of views from it, because most times they just use the video on their platform. So it looks more professional that way. You don't have to, like, be,
Yeah, I definitely understand. Especially because, like, there are certain things when I do like shoe reviews, I cannot be a certain type of individual when it comes to, I can't be the hi guys, how are you? Today is a lovely day. Everybody knows who I am. So then to be that, it's like, bro, is everything okay at home?
Yeah, when you can be yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
That's a
fact.
I can definitely understand the influencing game. But another thing I wanted to talk about. Sorry, go on.
No, I just feel like anything that you do that's not you being yourself, it can only bank
will shine through.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
That's
what I think. The other topic was, actually, I don't think this is relevant at all. It's not too deep. But anyways, yeah, we can go into like anything else that anybody else has.
I did want to ask you about like collaborations, because I've seen you worked with Mac. How did that come about?
So basically the lady that she's one of the persons that work at Mac, she was working for another brand before that when I first started working. And I was, we just, you know, like sometimes it's like you meet people on set and you just become friends, but nothing too crazy, just like, oh hi, but sometimes people remember you in it. Obviously if you have like a nice experience with them. So I met her for another job before, and it just happened that she started working at Mac in the headquarters and stuff. So she messaged me. She was like, oh, Chanel, like, I've got this project and I really want you to be involved in it. So then they sent me all the details. And then I feel like that was like a really fun project, because it was more creative. So I had more creative input. Yeah. And obviously, also a fashion designer that's quite popular in the fashion world as well. Called Gareth Pugh. He's a women's wear, men's wear kind of fashion designer. And so I just had to create a makeup look. So they gave me a makeup look, and then I had to like recreate it on myself and how I would like to wear it. And yeah, and then we had like some Zoom conversations, a couple of Zoom conversations about the look and like describing it. But I would say that project was, it was more like creative and more arts based, more than it was like
got a you.
Thing, yeah. Because it was,
it's crazy. This whole industry just seems, I was gonna say, it just seems like it's who you know, not what you know, basically. Because it seems like a lot of the opportunities you've been fortunate to have is, it's come through having good connections.
Yeah, but I feel like that's why a lot of the times, like, I wasn't signed to an agency in it. So I signed recently and I just didn't like the experience. So I just left. But I would never sign to an agency. And my friends that have signed to the agencies, like, didn't really get anything from it. I would say more so because the UK, they're not really good with stuff like that. I feel like it's America that's like really good with like developing artists and models, all of that. They're more into that that world. In the UK, it's not that good, but I knew kind of what I wanted to do in terms of my career. So that's why I kind of always just done it by myself. But I would say it's also it's like when you meet people, I always try to be nice to them, not with incentive because I want you to help me later. But if you're a nice person, like it does return, like you do get. Because a lot of the times I'm like, oh, like obviously I spoke to you, you're nice and stuff. And then years later, you get a really huge position and you still remember me. But I wouldn't feel like I did anything, like, oh, like I begged it, anything. I just was nice and just myself. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's important. But it's just, yeah, it's just interesting how using these connections help. But I guess it's also important to remember who you are and not trying to force certain situations, which is good that you've managed to get to where you are without having to lose any credibility or feeling like you've been in situations where that wasn't something you'd want to do.
Yeah, I haven't really had anything like that yet, I'm not going to lie. No, I haven't really had anything. Only thing that happens sometimes is like, you know, I feel like bigger brands, sometimes when they know that you're like up and coming in the modeling world, they try to push the limits. Like, oh, do you want to do a shoot? But it's like nude, but it's like, obviously we'll cover some parts up. But then it's kind of like, oh, this is for Vogue. And it's like, oh, I haven't done like that yet. So then they do a lot of that stuff, like when they know that you're up and coming, they're like, oh, like, do you want to, they will just try to get you to do nude stuff a lot.
Nah, it's gross.
But it's always for like big brands. But then it's just like, if I don't want to do nude, I want to do something else, like, you're not going to call. So I do feel like they try to push the limits. That's the only thing. But I never really take stuff like that because I just don't really get the point of it.
Yeah, I guess it's also, I feel like if you're not comfortable, you're not going to be you're not going to look comfortable doing the shoot and stuff like that. You have to make sure everything, I'm sure you know this.
It's not really necessary.
Yeah, I hear that, yeah.
Is because the idea is like really sick, but the sometimes it's like you guys just don't, you just want nude people because I don't know why, like
nude for the sake of nude.
Nude for the sake of like nude. And it always makes they'll make sure it's the black girl that's nude. And just like you never have black girls in your project, but when you do, you make them do nude stuff like
ulterior motives.
Yeah,
there.
You have to give that. That's when you have to start giving side eyes.
Yeah.
That was actually my next question. Being black in the industry, how is it for you and how is it for others as well?
You know what it's like, honestly, a lot of black girls wanted to get into modeling, but I would say that I have literally made money off the diversity or tokenism. I wouldn't say they actually like black people. I don't think they like black people. Like, I've always been the only black girl on the show. Like, it's always been that kind of vibe. Like, it's never been like, oh, like loads of black people on set, like hardly. But now it's getting better. But I've always been the only black girl. So it's kind of like the diversity fund that they have, they would pick me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a baby.
Just
for the sake of the I'm just like, oh yeah, Miss Chanel because she does modeling. But then other black girls that want to come up, they feel like, oh, why can't they do modeling? And it's literally not because they're not pretty, they don't have the look. It's just literally because they don't want to widen their budget.
Sorry guys. Pretty much what happened was there was a technical difficulty. But we're back anyways. Yeah, so just to go back into the point of what you were saying, Chanel.
About how to navigate the industry if you're black.
I think the connection's not very good. Can you hear us?
So I noticed black girls, they kind of like, can you hear me properly?
Yeah.
No? Yeah, slightly, yeah, we can hear you, but it's a bit
this is the thing. Why is the Wi-Fi so bad? Let me try. Okay, maybe I should use my phone then, because I used my laptop instead.
I think you're okay now. Can you keep trying? Keep talking.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Is it good? Oh, okay, cool. So yeah, with the diversity staff, I feel like we haven't really gotten to a place where they actually want like black creatives for the sake of just like being black. I mean, not being black just for the sake of like modeling. Like, let's say if you see a black model, you shouldn't just see them and think, oh, she's black. You should just see them as a person and hire them for the sake of their talent or whatever. I do feel like diversity is still there. Like, they still kind of like want black girls to look a certain way. And like with me, I do change my hair quite often, so I've found that to be an issue. But I do feel like black girls changing their hair is kind of like part of our culture. It's not like we do it just to look like another culture. We just, it's part of our culture, like braiding your hair, hair extensions, that's part of what we do. But I don't think that has been something that's accepted yet. It's slowly getting better, but it still takes quite some time.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll see the industry change, and you know, at least things are moving in the right direction, and you know, hopefully that tokenism transforms into them actually being interested and actually wanting to work with us, because obviously there's a lot of dope things that we're doing, and I think we deserve the shine.
That's very true. Mm-hmm.
All right, so next topic. So what we do here, Chanel, is we just basically say some of the music which we're listening to at the moment. So it's just a chance, like, you can tell us what sort of songs you're listening to, and then we'll let the people know what we're listening to.
I feel like I go on TikTok a lot, so I'm always listening, like, finding new songs on TikTok. But okay. Who am I listening to?
If you say hot in here.
Basically, yeah. That was a sick song. I don't know the girl that made the song, but she's like a new American artist. That transition song was really good. I listened to a lot of old music, to be honest with you. Like yesterday I was listening to like some 80s music, like white people's 80s music. Yeah. Who else? I think because of my parents.
White people's 80s music slaps. Yeah, you, man. You got a good taste.
It's actually lit, but who else was I listening to yesterday? I was listening to some Michael Jackson.
Okay, all right.
Who else? I feel like I go through so many different songs on my playlist.
If you could recommend one song, go on.
I'm not like what?
If you could recommend one song, that was Connors' question.
Oh, which, if I could recommend one song.
Which one would it be?
I like Asian Doll.
Okay.
Yeah, I like Asian Doll. Yeah, her recent, I think it's a mixtape, I don't know. One of her songs recently was really good. Yeah. Who else? Huh?
No, I was just going to say what's the name of the song, but if you, yeah.
Oh, I think it's None of That Shit or something like that.
That does sound like an Asian Doll song.
Yes, I love her, man. She's gonna blow, but I feel like
I think we lost her again. Hello? Demi, can you hear me?
Where's Iman gone?
I don't know.
Can hear you.
All right. I'm having a bit of a mare. Go on, Demi.
The chop and stuff is gonna be real. My recommendation for this week is, it's a tough one, but I think I'm going to have to give it to an artist by the name of Hope Tala. All My Girls Like to Fight. Basically, her saying all her girls are on smoke. It's the best drill song that's not on a drill beat. That's my that's my recommendation for this week.
Looking forward to listening to that. My recommendation is a song called Royalty by Shea Universe and Koji Radical. Really good song. I'll chuck it on a playlist. You guys can give it a listen, but Yeah, it's really, really dope awesome. Song. We'll all probably right. get Eman's on there somehow, but we'll just wrap up. Oh, go on, Eman. What's your song?
Give us your recommendation.
My song. I have plenty of songs.
Yes,
I mean, I've listened to the recent. I've listened to the recent. What do you call this? The recent songs of Getz and Stormzy, Skengman, and then also there's Chipmunk song.
Commandments.
What? Ten Commandments. But in terms of what's going to make the playlist, I really, really enjoy. I enjoy the whole collective of just Griselda. Like, it's just, it's a completely different. I don't know what it is about Griselda, but they just, they make music for me. Do you get what I'm saying? So,
that boom bap.
Yeah. That music. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not
really. But the song that's going to make this playlist this week, I've just mentioned those two, but the song that's going to make it this week is, a song by Westside Gunn featuring Rhymes. I can't remember the name of the song. I can't remember the name of the song. If I can find it. But yeah, no, listen, that song is a decent song. I love the song. So yeah.
Hear that.
I'll just keep it the way it is. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, Chanel. If you can, quickly, just tell the people where they can find you online. So, all your socials.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. Sorry, I couldn't hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What was you saying? Sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Tell the people where they can find you in the socials.
Oh, you want to find me on my socials?
Yeah. Tell the people where they can find you on this on your socials and stuff like that.
Okay, so my Instagram is @ChanelieGirl, and like most of my socials are the same. It's just @ChanelieGirl. Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Well, thank you, Chanel. You've been amazing. It's been a real interesting insight into the fashion industry. And we're going to keep an eye on you. And I'm sure you're going to go, well, you are already doing great things. It's just going to keep on happening. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Made in Chafford, episode 70. I guess that's it.
Yeah, peace.
That is it, man.
Peace guys. Take it easy. Thank you once again, Chanel.